Well, good morning, Northwoods. We are so glad that you are here with us. You know, if you were here last week, you know that we started off our 21-day fast. And I have some good news for you. If you are here and you've made it through a third of our fast already. We are already 1 week in. We got two more weeks to go. And if this is your first time joining us or you missed last week, just jump right in right where we're at. And reminder that you can get all the resources, those daily devotionals, the reading plan, all of that is online at northwoods.church/blessedyear. You know, with the fast, a lot of the times that what you're partnering with fasting is a lot of prayer. And if you're like me, it seems like the things that end up on our list that we're fasting for, that we're hoping for breakthrough, are things that have maybe been on the list for a while, that have just kind of felt the same, or that nothing's changing, that you're not seeing the breakthrough you're wanting to see in an area, so you're committing some extra time to that, extra prayer, extra spiritual discipline. If that's you, if you're kind of stuck in breakthrough, I would encourage you to request prayer online today, to use that button. Our prayer team is here, and let me tell you, I've been on both sides. I have been the prayer team member that's been able to pray with people, as well as someone who has come who just needs some prayer, needs some encouragement in areas that I'm struggling in, or seeing others that are having a hard time that need some breakthrough. And either way, it is a blessing to just be a part of that prayer team, whether that's receiving or giving. So I would encourage you today, if there's something you are praying about with this fast, something you are hoping for breakthrough, that you are seeking the Lord for breakthrough, use our prayer team this morning. They're here and they want to pray with you. Now, if you're brand new here, you've never been here at Northwoods, never joined us online before, first off, welcome. Again, I am so excited that you are here joining us today. It's already been a great series, and today is going to be no different. We are just continuing to unpack this idea of a blessed year. But I know that Northwoods can be a bit intimidating if you're brand new. You're like, what's going on? What are all the events? How do I get involved? What are there for my kids or my students? Or what is there for my marriage? Or what is this fast? If you're new, I would encourage you to text the number on the screen right now, and that is going to put you in communication with a pastor on our staff. And it's not some automated message. No, it's a real person who just wants to answer any questions you might have and help you get connected here at Northwoods. And for those of you who've been around for a while, you know what I'm gonna say. Pull out your phone, open the Northwoods app, and fill out that connection card. Let us know you're here. Let us know you're tuning in. Help us get to know you and keep you up to date on what is going on here. Now, last, before we head into service, before we get kicked off with worship and great teaching and all that that is included in our service, I want you to just join the chat right now. Let us know where you're tuning in from. Again, another point of connection, another place to help us get to know you, help you what's going on in your life, what's new, what's not new, all that good stuff. So go ahead, drop that in the chat, and we hope you enjoy the service, because Northwoods starts right now.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods. Let's stand together. We introduced this song to you last week. We're gonna sing it again. We're gonna declare God's word, God's promises over our lives today. We're gonna sing together that we are more than conquerors. So come on, let's praise his name today. We sing.
Though there will be trouble, his faithfulness remains. When enemies surround us, our hope is still the same. In hunger or in longing, the bread of life sustains. When we are at our weakest, we can still proclaim, we are more than conquerors. The battle's won, it's by his blood.
of expectation. We're gonna see you move. Where two or more are gathered, there's power in the room. You're all our hearts are after. There's nothing you can't do. Let it.
You to lift your hands this morning if you're comfortable. Again, we always like to share that there's nothing magical when we lift our hands. It's just a posture of surrender before the Lord. So right where you're at, just surrender your heart. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. Come and have your way. We worship you, Lord.
You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You're working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, every voice, we sing.
You are way maker, miracle worker.
That is who you are.
Way maker.
You're making a way today, God.
My God, that is who you are. You are here. You're touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Come on, sing it again. You are here.
You are here. Turn your lives around. I worship you.
Oh, I will never stop worshiping you, Lord.
You are here. Yeah. You're melting every heart. I worship you. Thank you.
For your peace. Thank you that you're one of your names is God, is Jehovah Shalom. You're the Lord our peace. And I thank you that as children of God, we have access to that peace through the Holy Spirit. Come on, church, if you need peace this morning, just invite the Holy Spirit to release fresh fruit in your life. Holy Spirit, we invite you to release your fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. Greater measure of peace this morning. Also want to pray for you if you are a parent or a grandchild or a grandparent in this room this morning. I just felt this on my heart as we were worshiping. You know, as parents and grandchildren who have young children, young grandchildren, I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't have a lot of peace about what might be happening to them right now at this time in our country. Everywhere they go, it's just fear, 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 fear. And I can get in a place of worrying about what is it doing to my children. But the Lord put a scripture in my heart yesterday, and I believe it's a word for us today too, for our children, for the next generation. The Lord said in Isaiah to Israel, he said, "The Lord will be the teacher of your children, and great will be their peace." If you're a parent, you're a grandchild, parents, as our job is to connect our children to the love of the Father. And as we do that, and as we keep the Lord the center of our home and allow him to be the teacher, great will be their peace. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are releasing your peace in the lives of our children and the next generation. We ask you to release that in greater measure even now. We break off fear, worry, anxiety, depression. Release your peace over the children in this church, Father. And everyone under the sound of my voice today, we thank you for your peace. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Lord, we love you. You can go ahead and be seated. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. If I've never met you, my name's John. I'm one of the pastors here. And I hope we're 7 days into the fast now. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying strong. And if you are new here with us, we would love to get connected with you. You can text the word new to the number on your screen, 833-550-1550. And again, we're not gonna, you know, you text that number, we're not gonna call to check in about your recently expired car warranty. We just wanna connect with you, see if there's any way that we can help you in your journey here at Northwoods. And if you've been, you're not new, you've been here at Northwoods for an extended period of time, if you wouldn't mind, pull out the Northwoods app on your phone, fill out the connection card, let us know you're here. Maybe let us know how we can be praying for you. And if there's any questions you have about anything, you can put those in the connection card there too. We would love to connect with you as well. You know, today is Second Sunday Sack Lunch here. And I had a friend ask me this morning, during the fast, does Second Sunday Sack Lunch turn into you basically give $5 and you get an empty brown bag? No, there's still food out there. You know, I know everyone engages in the fast in different ways. And if you are fasting, maybe your children still got to eat. You can go out to the Second Sunday Sack Lunch table, pay $5, get lunch. And church, we want to thank you because I was just made aware this week that Second Sunday Sack Lunch started somewhere around 10 years ago now. And Second Sunday Sack Lunch has now raised, through as you've given money to this for lunches, has now raised over $100,000 for building ministry partnership with our international partners around the world. $100,000. That is incredible. And if you wouldn't mind, church, we'd ask you to be praying for our missions here at Northwoods, that God would continue to open the door for more in-person ministry with our international partners. He's opened the door to Brazil and the Dominican Republic, but we're still praying that God would continue to bring that back to where it was, that we'd continue to be in person with our international partners. So if you can be praying that way, that'd be great. If you have any questions about our missions here at Northwoods, where we go, what we do, you can stop by the second Sunday sack lunch. The tables are out there in the atrium after the service. Just check in with someone there. They would love to connect with you. Also, church, want to remind you and just let you know that as we come into this new year about giving, that you can schedule your giving through Northwoods online, northwoods.church/give. You know, sometimes it's easy to, you start giving and then you kind of fall off because you forget. You can schedule your giving online so that it's not something you forget. It's something that just happens. You can schedule it to be weekly, biweekly, monthly, however you want to do that so that you know, hey, first thing come out of my paycheck is going back to the Lord. And church, I want to say thank you again for your giving. I don't have the exact numbers. I think my dad might, I don't know if he's going to share that with us today, but I know we finished the year very, very strong here at Northwoods budget-wise. So thank you for your faithful giving. It's our giving that's helping to fuel the growth of what God is doing through this church and our community and all around the world. And then lastly, I want to invite you to join us for our night of prayer this Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. in the Student Center. You know, we all got things that we are praying for and lifting up during this fast that we're asking the Lord for breakthrough in. And the night of prayer, we're all going to come together and we're going to worship and we're going to pray together. And if there's things that have been on your heart, we want to pray with you as we come together and seek the Lord together. So that will be this Friday in the Student Center. That's right out there by the atrium from 6 to 9 p.m. And for those of you who maybe live further away, there is an online option where you'll be able to tune in with us for that as well. So we hope to see you this Friday for our night of prayer in the Student Center from 6 to 9 p.m. So that is it for announcements this morning. And let's just, again, prepare our hearts. Just let's come expectantly today that we expect to hear from the Lord as Pastor Cal comes to share with us.
All right, you guys off to a blessed year, are you? Well, some of you are. The rest of you don't even know if you got here yet, right? Good to see you. And man, I hope you're enjoying the first week of the fast. If you can say fasting is something we enjoy. I'm kind of liking the fact that my belt's feeling better, pants are feeling better, you know, everything's fitting a little better. You know, so there are some of those benefits as well. But I hope you're using this as a time to seek the Lord. And I just want to encourage you to pray for me. Many, many, many times when I'm not here on a weekend, obviously, you know, John's stepping more into that leadership role. But I want you to know I'm not off twiddling my thumbs somewhere. I'm always somewhere else. And I have the opportunity next week to be out in Denver at Jeff Schwarzentraub's church. Jeff's from Peoria. He's got a great church going on out there called Brave Church. I'm becoming one of his like overseeing elders. But what's really exciting to me is he's asked me to come and to begin to train their church in some of the word and spirit stuff that we're doing, like doing what Jesus did and those kinds of things. So I'm going to be doing some training out there this coming weekend. So I won't be at the prayer event, but it's not because my heart won't be here. I'll still be in the fast with you. I'll still be praying for you, but you be praying for me as well. I'm just excited about the opportunities to serve beyond the walls of this church. And so God is using you and what's going on here to help make an impact elsewhere. Again, I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. I hope your 2022 is off to a great start. And as I said, I hope the first week of our 21-day fast, however you have chosen to engage, has been meaningful to you. Now, in conjunction with the fast, we began a new series last week called The Blessed Year. in which we're looking at several keys to experiencing the blessing of God in our lives. And John started out this series a week ago by looking at the first key, and that is to walk in obedience to God. There's no blessing without obedience. And we're going to learn, even as we look at that key a little bit even today, that the blessing always follows obedience. Wouldn't it be nice if you got the blessing first and then you go, okay, now obey? No, it happens the other way around. Today we're looking at a second key, and that is to make God your portion. In this section of scripture we're going to be looking at today, the psalmist says in Psalm 119 in verse 57, "You are my portion, O Lord." So what does that mean? Well, I thought the best way to explain it was to show you this picture. And even though we're fasting, I want to relate it to a portion of pie. You notice one guy, the guy on your left, is smiling because he's gotten about 80 to 85% of the pie, or maybe even more. The other is frowning and probably going like, what's with this, right? Because his portion is only one piece. And that's often how we feel when we look around. We feel like others have gotten a better portion in life than we have. But how different would it be, think about this today, how different would it be if it were later discovered that the smaller portion contained a diamond worth hundreds of thousands of dollars? I think the guy on the left would no longer be going, what's with this? He'd be going, have all the pie you want. I've got the slice I need. Years ago, I came across a story of an African farmer who, though wealthy and contented, had heard tales about other farmers who had made millions by discovering diamond mines. Thinking that he might be bypassing his opportunity to make a fortune, he decided to sell his farm and go prospecting for diamonds himself. So he put his farm, his small portion, up for sale and spent the rest of his life wandering the African continent in search of the diamonds that would bless his life. Unfortunately, his adventure was not successful, and thus one day, worn out and despondent, having lost everything, he threw himself into a river and just ended it all. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, his former farm, his former portion, the man to whom he had sold the farm happened to be crossing the small stream on the property one day. Suddenly, there was a bright flash of light from the bottom of the stream. He bent down, picked up a good-sized stone, and admiring it, later put it on his fireplace mantle as an interesting curiosity. Several weeks later, a visitor to his home picked up the stone, looked closely at it, hefted it in his hand, and nearly fainted. He asked the farmer if he knew what he had found. When the farmer said no, it's just an interesting rock from the back creek, the visitor informed him that he just found one of the largest diamonds ever discovered. Of course, the farmer couldn't believe it. He said, well, that little creek out back is filled with all kinds of rocks like this. Maybe not as large, but hundreds of those kinds of rocks. Later, it was discovered in a rather ironic twist that the land the first farmer had sold so that he might find a diamond mine turned out to be the most productive mine on the entire African continent. He had owned free and clear acres of diamonds, but sadly had sold them for practically nothing in order to look for them elsewhere. And while there are many lessons to be learned from the fate of this despondent diamond seeker, I think the most poignant lesson for each of us is to realize that if we have truly made God our portion, we are each standing right in the middle of our own diamond mines and have no need to go hunting elsewhere. And not only that, but it's connected to the one who has all the diamonds. He deposits those kinds of things into our lives through all kinds of spiritual gifts and talents and downloads that he gives to us when we make him our portion. Many times we convince ourselves that we'd be living the blessed life if we had a little more money, a better house, nicer car, or any number of other things to make us happy. We tell ourselves, if I could only get a bigger portion of the pie, I'd be happy. When the psalmist says, "You are my portion, O Lord," he is saying, "In you, Lord, I have everything I really need. You are my high-priced diamond. You are my pearl of great price." You know, in the Old Testament, when the land was finally settled, the Israelites had entered into the promised land, and then the land was divided among the tribes. God said to the tribe of Levites, because they're going to serve him in the temple, he said, "You're not getting any land." And they could be sitting at the table going like, "Well, what's with that?" And then he says, "I will be your portion." And thereby made them wealthier than anybody else because they were going to get to serve in the temple of the Lord, be right up next to what he was doing and where he was going. And though he did give them some towns and this type of thing, the whole point was they had everything they needed because God said, "I'll be your portion." That's what he says to every New Testament believer. Think about what you have if you have him. In him is hope. In him is joy, in him is peace, in him is forgiveness of all your sins and freedom from guilt and shame, in him is new life, in him is the promise of protection and provision, in him is purpose and satisfaction, in him is a life of integrity and influence, in him are powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit, in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, in him is life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Without him, no matter how big your portion in life, you are, as the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:12, without hope and without God in this world. And without him, you are guaranteed in the end to lose your own soul, as Jesus said, even if you have gained the whole world. Make God your portion, and you will walk under the blessing of his hand. And my question to you is, what could you want more than to live under the blessing of God this year? The question is, how do we make God our portion? Is it just something I say? Is it just something intangible that I believe I've done? Well, I invited Jesus into my life, and then I just get on with my life. Or is it something we can really cultivate so we live in the awareness that he truly is our portion? Are there tangible ways I can demonstrate that God is my portion, and as a result, I will dwell under the blessing of his hand? Well, I believe there are some secrets to living out this reality in a tangible way, and those secrets are hidden in plain view in the text that we're going to look at today. And you know, if you've been following our daily devotionals, that we're making our way through Psalm 119, John's kind of opened with that last week. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, which is also an acrostic. I had to mention that for those of you who like to tease me about my acrostics. Just understand they're biblical, okay? And in Psalm 119, the writer uses each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in sections of 8 verses each. So verses 1 to 8 all begin with the Hebrew letter A or Aleph. And then section 2 is 8 verses that begin with Beth. And in fact, you can actually, for those of you who really want to get after it, you can memorize the entire Hebrew alphabet by simply looking at the headings of each of those 8 sections. And you have 22 sections. If you memorize those, you'll have the whole Hebrew alphabet memorized, okay? So we are going to look today at the Hebrew letter that's called Het. It's spelled H-E-T-H. It's not Heth. So L, if you're here or you're listening, don't think your name got in the Bible there, okay? It's Het. And the verses comprising the section are verses 57 to 64. So let's look at these. They're coming up on the screen. Look at what he says. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face from my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. I've considered my ways, and I have turned my steps to your statutes. I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I'm a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. The earth is filled with your love, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. So what are the secrets to demonstrating through my life that I have made God my portion? Let's look at several of these secrets today in this passage. Secret number one is this, and again, it ties into where John was last week. It starts with obey his words. This is the first thing the psalmist says, you are my portion, and because of that, as a demonstration of that, I have promised to obey your words. Is there any way you're living right now that is out of line with God's word? All I can tell you is that I love you, but you will not be blessed that way. You won't be. His blessing rests on obedience. And the more you fall in love with Jesus and make him your portion, the more you want to obey him. Jesus said, those who love me, obey me. Not just that obedience is like the fruit of your love, but the more you love me, the more obedience is the expression of your love. Out of that love and obedience, blessing flows. Look at what James says in James 1 and verse 25. But the man who looks intently, the man or woman who looks intently in the perfect law that gives freedom, that is God's word, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, obeying it. Look at what it says. He will be what? He will be blessed in what he does. How's that come? Doing the word. Not just going, well, I know the word. I read it. No, doing it. When it comes to obeying God, don't question, just obey. I love what Jesus' earthly mother Mary said to the servants at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus performed his first miracle and turned water into wine. Man, just make this one of your cardinal values. It's so simple. John chapter 2 and verse 5, she said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Why? Because his word has creative power. His word has miraculous power. And the shortest way to your miracle is simply doing whatever he tells you. Did you hear me? The shortest way to your miracle is just doing whatever he tells you. So he tells these servants, after they've run out of wine, fill the jars with water. They did. Then he says, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. Can you imagine the dilemma this puts them in? These servants had to be thinking, are you trying to get our butts fired or what? We're not going to serve him water. Are you kidding me? But they had to learn what we have to learn, and that is that blessing follows obedience. Do whatever he tells you, whether it makes sense to you or not. Do whatever he tells you, whether you understand it or not. Do whatever he tells you, whether you can explain it or not. The shortest way to your miracle is do whatever he tells you. This is how you tangibly express that he is your portion. You do whatever he tells you. You obey his words. But notice he also says in verse 60, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. Somebody told me this summer, I haven't forgotten, delayed obedience is disobedience. The best thing you can do today, if you know you are out of line with God's will and want to live under his blessing, is to quickly obey. This illustration came to me this morning. It won't cost you any extra, but it wasn't really in my notes. But it just this whole idea. I remember as a kid going to bed, and when Mom pulled the sheets up over us, you know, he's tucking us in like 5 years old. And on this particular night, my knees were absolutely dirty and grass stained. My feet were dirty and grass stained. I hadn't cleaned up. And she said, you need to go down and clean up right now before you go to bed. I said, Mom, I'm already, you were upstairs, you know, as a little kid, I don't want to have to go all the way back down the stairs, you know, this type of thing. And I said, Mom, I don't want to clean up, you know, this type of thing. Now, whatever you want to say about her motherly motivation at that point, it worked when she said, what would happen if you died tonight and you had to stand before Jesus with those dirty feet and those dirty knees? Made sense to my little mind. I jumped out of bed like that, went down those steps, and I scrubbed myself clean. Now, again, you could say you could foist onto your kid a wrong understanding of God, but I tell you today from my adult version of remembering that story, it makes me pray, Lord, if there is any soiled place in my soul, may I be quick, just like that little boy was, to run down those steps and to get it settled with you. You want to walk under the blessing of God, you made him your portion, you be quick to obey his word. Amen. Here's secret number two, seek his face. Obey his word, seek his face. Notice the psalmist goes on in verse 58, I have sought your face from my heart. Seeking his face is spending time in his presence because you want to be with him. You want to know him better. This is more than just that 1 minute breath as you scurry out the door in the morning already out of breath and just, Lord, bless me today. If you have made God your portion, you want to spend time with him. You want to dwell with him. You want to be close enough to him to hear his voice, to know his will. This is why fasting can help us. What we're doing through these 21 days is hopefully establishing some deeper roots, spending time with God, realizing the richness of that. But it's our way of saying along with Job in Job 23 and verse 12, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my daily bread. We're saying, Lord, I'm going to give up this meal because I want to be with you and I want to feast on your word. We're making it to the confession of our lives as Jesus did when he had fasted 40 days and was tempted by the devil. Remember, he responded in Matthew 4 and verse 4. It is written, man does not live on bread, that is physical food alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Fasting puts us in a place of seeking his face, his will, his touch, his anointing, his presence. And his word to every believer is seek and you will find. But here's the point. If you want to find, you got to seek. You got to seek. There are more that come to seekers than come to the casual. Sometime during the winter of my junior year of college, somewhere between my dorm and the parking lot, I lost the only key I had to my VW. And now I had no guarantee of finding that key. I knew that the surest way not to find it was to not seek it. It had snowed quite a bit. Things were iced over. I remember very carefully retracing my steps the next day when I realized I don't have my key. And as I'm walking, maybe the 150 yards or so to the parking lot, looking back and forth, retracing my steps, I'm praying the whole way, Father, you know where that key is. Would you please help me to find it? Again, I walked from the dorm, carefully scanning the ground the whole way, saw nothing. And then I searched the area closer to my car and then the side door where I had gotten out. I was about ready to give up the search. And as I was towards the back of the car, just going like, Lord, I don't know what to do. My foot, the heel of my shoe, broke through the ice of a small pothole. And I was pulling my shoe up to see how wet my foot was when I noticed something sparkling in the pothole. Kind of like the man in the creek finding something sparkling. And I reached down and lo and behold, I have found my VW car key. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? You know, you talk about finding a needle in a haystack. And I say this today, I share that to say this. It's one thing to seek for that which you hope to find, but aren't sure you will. Because there comes a time where you go, okay, I'm done. It's another thing to seek that which you already have the promise you will find. God's word says in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, to his people, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So this is what we're doing as we dedicate these 21 days as a fast on the Lord. We're seeking his face, and in doing so, we're saying to him, Lord, you're my portion. I want more of you more than I want my next bite of steak. I want more of you more than I want my next slice of pie. I want more of you more than I want my next pound of chocolate. I want more of you more than I want my next cheeseburger and fries. Anybody hungry yet? Lord, I want more of you. More of your love, more of your joy, more of your peace, more of your purity, more of your power, more of your provision, more of your manifest presence in my life. Lord, I want more of you. I don't want business as usual, because if I always do what I've always done, I'll always get what I always got, but I don't want business as usual, so I'll do the unusual. I'll fast and pray and seek your face. Church, you want a blessed year? Seek his face, and he promises to be found by you. Amen? Obey his word. Seek his face. Secret number three, align your steps. Align your steps. This has two parts. First, consider your ways. And secondly, turn to his ways. It's the Hebrew word shuv. It means to repent, means to turn. If there's anything out of line, I turn so that I'm in his ways. Look at verse 59. I have considered my ways. Again, remember, he said, Lord, you're my portion. This is what flows out of that. I have considered my ways and have turned my steps to your statutes. See, if you're going to align your steps with his, you first of all have to consider your ways. This is praying with David in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, when he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." He's saying, as I consider my ways, God, if you see anything in me that is not right, help me, this is number two, to turn and align my steps with your ways and your statutes. That word align is one of our core measures around here for how we know whether we're truly following Jesus. Are we aligned with him? Are we walking in his steps? Or are we out of alignment? See, if your car is in proper alignment, you don't even have to steer that thing, and it just kind of goes down the road straight as an arrow. But let it get out of alignment, it will pull to one side, head right for the ditch, you know, the minute you take your hand off the wheel. And not only that, it will wear out the tires in no time flat because they're out of line. This is exactly what happens in our lives when we're out of line. We get pulled to the ditch that much easier. We end up worn out physically, emotionally, spiritually, because we're out of line. I thought it was interesting that John prayed for parents and grandparents today. I want to say this to parents, just as a side note for you. It's our alignment, it's our walking in his steps that will give our kids the footprints to follow. The imagery here of considering my ways and making sure I'm walking in his steps takes me back to a tour I had the privilege of taking to Egypt a couple of years ago, where we hiked Mount Sinai at night. Now, I put up a couple of pictures because this is kind of what it looked like just as we were getting started, and that sun is kind of sinking, and it's going to be pitch black, and we're going to climb that mountain under moonlight and stars. How are we going to do it? And I even got in trouble for taking that picture. Stop the flashes. It'll blind people, you know, whatever. Before we went, still had enough light. I'll never forget our leader saying, "I want to show you biblically what it means to follow the shepherd." And he selected a couple guys. We're kind of on the flats there. He said, "I want you to follow me." So he started out, and these guys were just spread out all over, and they're just kind of behind him. He said, "No, you're not following me." He said, "You know what it means to follow?" He said, "You get in a line. And the person behind me steps exactly where I step. And then the person behind him will duplicate where you've stepped. And if you've stepped where I've stepped, they'll be stepping where I've stepped. And then the person behind him, if the second person duplicates where I've stepped, there'll be stepping in my steps as well. He said, guys, this is the only way we're going to make it up the mountain in the dark. I know the way, you don't, so you have to follow me. And that means you step only where I step. And you know, that's how 45 to 50 of us got up the mountain in the dark. And I might have been 30-some people back from the leader, but I was stepping in his steps. Why? Because the person in front of me was replicating for me where he had stepped. Do you understand that that is how we transfer to our children what it means to walk in his steps? And the rocks we climb on are the statutes and the values and the promises of God. And that's where we put our feet. And that's what shows our children how they're to do life and where they're to step and what's going to keep them on the straight and narrow as they climb the mountain themselves. Amen? That's what we're to do. You want to align your steps with his. And as you do, you will be walking in the wisdom of his ways and his statutes. James tells us in James 3:17 something about what that looks like. He says, the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. So just again, you think about this. If his ways are pure, am I stepping in his ways? Or am I walking in impurity? I'm out of step. Not going to be blessed that way. Not going to give an appropriate path to my children that way. His ways are peace-loving. Are there places where you're blowing up the peace or refusing to live in peace with others? His ways are considerate and submissive. Is there any place where you are demanding your rights in your way? His ways are full of mercy. Is there any place where you are walking in judgment and arrogance rather than humility and grace? See, if you're gonna live the blessed life and truly make God your portion, you have to align your steps with his ways, because those ways are the rocks we climb on. Here's secret number four. Train your mind. So obey his word, seek his face, align your steps, train your mind. And at first glance, you might not see this in these verses, but it's a critical secret. The psalmist says in verse 61, though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget. There's the activity of the mind. I will not forget your laws. My old theology prof used to say, never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. You know where most of us lose our blessing? It's when the wicked bind us with ropes. The imagery here is of walking through tough times where it looks like the devil is winning, and that evil and wickedness have come against me and are winning the day. Times where you did the right thing and it turned out the wrong way, or so it seems. Times where you tried to do it God's way and it ended up a disaster, so it seems. May look that way right now. But guys, be very, very careful when the enemy tries to get you to embrace an offended heart and to agree with his lie that it doesn't pay to go God's way, because I've been trying to do that and look at what happened. It's then you need to take your mind in hand and say, he is my portion. I will not forget his law. I'll continue to follow him. Psalmist is saying, God, I have made you my portion. Even when I walk through times where it looks like evil is winning. Many, many scholars think David wrote Psalm 119. It doesn't say who the author is, but think about his life. Yeah, he had failed. He had messed up. He had also been forgiven, but man, that's when all hell broke loose against him. Absalom's chased him out of his palace. He's got enemies on every side. Yet he can say, I've made God my portion. I'm not going to cave in. He says, I've made you my portion. Even when I walk through times where it looks like evil is winning the day, I will take my mind in hand. I will continue to follow your ways and confess your promises. Over Christmas break, we had the opportunity to spend a nice warm week in Florida at the home of some friends from Northwoods, a couple who graciously gave us their place last minute when the Airbnb didn't work out. Long story, don't ask. But while there, I noticed a first draft of a book that the wife was writing about her life and was intrigued because I knew some of her story but didn't know that she was turning it into a book. And if I could give you an overview of the chapters, it would sound like this: rejection, sexual abuse, sexual abuse, sexual abuse, more rejection, more disappointment, more sexual abuse, the death of her first husband, and only recently, so not included in the book, but needs to be another chapter, the death of her 37-year-old son. Lots of places where it looks like the wicked have bound her with ropes, the devil has won. What the heck? Give it up. But I love the name of the book, because this is her. And it's her testimony through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm still standing. Is that awesome? And you wonder how. Well, I think it's because she has learned how to face her trials in the strength of the Lord, how to confess her promises in spite of the dark, and to take her mind in hand and do what the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's the future I'm going to. That's what I'm believing God for. You train your mind to think his thoughts, and you too will stand in his strength when the day of testing comes. When the enemy comes against you this year, you rebuke him in the name of the Lord. You fill your mind with the promises of God. You get him up on your lips. You declare what he says: I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I can do all things through him who gives me the strength. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You think his thoughts and you speak his word. And when the dust settles, your testimony will be: in the name of Jesus, I'm still standing. Amen. Yeah, you're going to stand if you train your mind and say, in the midst when it feels like evil is winning, no. I haven't seen the end yet. I'm not going to forget the Lord's words and promises and laws. Secret number 5, give God thanks. So in love with God is the psalmist, and so in awe that God would reveal his word to him, that he says in verse 62, at midnight I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I'm not telling you that you have to do the midnight shift, guys, but friend, what you do want to do is replicate this practice of giving God thanks every day for the revelation of his righteous laws, which have made known to you the path of life. Do you know how privileged you are that God has revealed himself and his ways to you? In fact, if you know Jesus Christ today, do you know that the Bible says you didn't get there by yourself? That was a revelation out of heaven to your heart. Isn't that amazing? That's revelation from God. Following his ways has brought great blessing to my life, but without the revelation, I wouldn't know the blessing. Think about it. I can say today, thank you, God, that my marriage is blessed because you have given me revelation into the laws of life for building a great marriage. Thank you, God, that my family is blessed because your laws and precepts have helped me to know how to lead my family. Thank you, Lord, that my relationships are blessed because you have taught me how to lay down offenses, forgive those who wound me, to walk in love towards others. Thank you, Lord, that my business is blessed because you have taught me how to do business by the book. Thank you, Lord, that my finances are blessed because you have taught me how to return the tithe and the first fruits of all I receive. Thank you, Lord, that my health is blessed because your laws of life have taught me how to keep my body and soul well. Thank you, Lord, that my future is blessed because your revelation of Jesus Christ has brought both life abundant and life eternal to my soul. Guys, listen to me. A grumpy spirit can't dwell long in a grateful heart. Every one of us has every reason to get up each day to make our list and to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, gratitude is like a muscle that needs to be worked out. The more you express it, the more you'll possess it. You understand? Well, I don't feel very grateful. No, you don't feel grateful when the wicked have bound you with ropes. But that's part of how you, like Samson, rise up and pop those suckers. You just start thanking God and keeping your mind focused on the blessings that he has given you and how rich you are that you dwell as a son or daughter of the revelation of the God Most High. Thank him. If you've made him your portion, thanksgiving will be your language. Here's secret number 6. Find your friends. Find your friends. Listen, here's what I know from years of observation. Those who have made God their portion are not usually best friends with those who haven't. Look at what verse 63 says. I'm a friend to all who fear you, to all who follow your precepts. He's saying, if you want to walk under the blessing of God, you've got to walk with and hang with the right people. You've got to know who your true friends are. And here's the criteria. Do they fear God? And do they follow his precepts? Or do they mock you for doing so? Are they as committed to following Jesus as you are? I've watched this over and over again. Someone comes to Jesus, all excited about following him, but then maybe desperate to find the right person. They link up with someone who has no interest in following Jesus. Oh, but he or she is a good person. We have fun together. Pretty soon, hanging with the wrong friend has caused them to either crash in their faith or cash in their faith. And God said, no, no, no. Listen, guys, you tell me that God is truly your portion, and it should tell me all I need to know about your closest friends. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have non-Christian friends. Certainly we should if we're trying to reach them for Christ. I'm talking about your best friends. That's what the whole word koinonia means, fellowship means. You can only have the deepest level of friendship and fellowship with people who share the same treasure that you have in your life. Your closest friends and your deepest friends will be those who love Jesus and are helping you walk faithfully with him. I have a friend in my life today, closer than we've ever been, who has found some new friends this year and has had to let go of a bunch of old friends because for too many years he was walking with the wrong crowd. It nearly cost him everything. His marriage, his family, everything that was good in his life. And because of his own wounds, which left him vulnerable to needing the approval of the wrong kinds of friends, he was a prime target for the kind of destruction that came to his life. But you know what the bottom of the barrel has taught him? It's taught him who his true friends are and who they need to be. And it's also taught him that God really needs to be his portion. It can't be as it was in the past. Well, I really want all that the world has to offer with a little bit of God thrown in. No, from here on in, it's God, you're my portion. And whatever part of the world I got to let go of, I will. I'm standing back in awe as God does a work of restoration in his life, even in the pain and the struggle of this moment. I can tell you this, if he keeps on, it's going to be a blessed year. And I ask you today, friend, is that the kind of year you want? Make God your portion. And you will walk around this year saying with the psalmist as he ends the psalm, it's like when he's your portion and you know you have everything you need and you know that what needs to open up in the future is going to open up because he's my portion and he knows where he's leading me and I'm just following him and I'm walking in his steps. You just be like, David just ends this particular section with, man, the whole world is just filled with your love, Lord. Everywhere I go, I just get signs of your love. Make God your portion. Let's stand together for prayer. And I'm going to make this prayer in two parts. And the first is just something I want you to state in your heart to him. And then as we wrap up, I want you to make a declaration today, okay? I want you to declare it. Bow your head in your heart. I want you to just let God know right now, in your words, God, I know if I have you, I have everything I need. And Lord, I want to say as well, apart from you, I have no good thing. Teach me how to let go of what I don't really need and all that keeps me from fully pursuing you and your will for my life. Now, if you feel comfortable with your head bowed, just raise your hand as a way of your declaration today. Let's say it out loud. I'll lead you. I declare today that you are my portion. And because you are, I will obey your word. I will seek your face. I will align my steps. I will train my mind. I will give you thanks. And I will find my friends. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a blessed year as I walk with you. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give him praise, guys. That's his word to you. It's going to be a blessed week because this week is a part of this year. And this year is blessed. Guys, go in peace. John will be here to lead you next week. And then I'll see you back 2 weeks from now. But listen, if you need prayer for anything, you come on down. What is it that you're leaning into? If it feels like the wicked have bound you with ropes somewhere, come on down. The prayer team would like to pray with you. God bless you. Have a great week. Those of you watching online, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you're leaning in with us. We always like to say around here, when you give God the first fruits, we do that of our money, but we do that of our year, because if the first is blessed, so's the rest. And so I hope as you're leaning into this first part of the year, you're trusting God for a blessed year. Make him your portion. God bless you.
Wow, what an awesome message. What a great reminder. You know, with the fast, you're often coming to the Lord with things you're, again, you know what I talked about at the beginning, want to see breakthrough in, maybe some desires on your heart for this year or this next season. But what a great reminder today that the Lord is our portion. That doesn't mean we can't have things we desire, things we want to see breakthrough or change in, but that does not change the truth that the Lord is our portion and he is everything that we need. So, so good. Now, just a reminder again, if you're participating in our fast with us, all of those resources, the devotionals, the reading, maybe even just the breakdown of what a fast is and what that looks like, that is all available on our website at northwoods.church/blessed year. And last, I want to personally invite you to our healing place that is happening January 14th. So be on the lookout for more info about that. It's going to be a great time. It always is every year. We'll see you next week.